TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
Warning. The Outsider's Edge contains strong opinions, unconventional views, and contrarian stances. Listen, if you dare.
Hey, yo!
Guerrilla tactics, it's time for warfare. Yo, we came to battle, yo, we aim to kill.
What's going on, everybody? This is not your boy Rance, a.k.a. Ray Cash. Rance had some adult shit he decided he needed to do this week and could not be here, but he sends all of our love to the listeners. This your boy, Kyle Morse, here as ever with our third host, Mr. Carl Irvin. Carl, how you doing tonight?
Feel like shit, Kyle, but that's okay. Just kind of an FYI, because I'm doing the recording tonight, everybody. It doesn't cut out my coughing. It doesn't cut out my sniffling, my blowing nose, my sneezes. But I'm
and
here.
And he tells you that because Brother Carl got the creds this week. And he's soldiering on through because our man Carl is nothing if not a hard-working man.
Sure. And, you know, I just – you guys might hear some things on here that you're like, ugh, come on, man. But listen, I'm out here doing what I'm supposed to be doing. All right, and I'm just out here living my dream. You got to respect that, okay? So you know the motto of the show.
Well, and you know, Brother Carl, the important thing is you're being positive about the whole thing. There's such a lack of positivity in the wrestling culture right now, and it's so undeserved. Like, so much saltiness about getting exactly what the fuck you said you wanted.
You're right. I think there's been a lot of... Everyone's just kind of complaining about, doesn't matter what it is at this point. I think one thing that stands out to me real quick, and this wasn't necessarily a topic of discussion, was nobody wanted some random feud for Asuka for the SmackDown Women's title. Well, you're not getting that now. But now they're mad because it cost Asuka the Women's title. And I understand that, but it's kind of a big picture, like, do you want them just throwing her in a random match at WrestleMania, or rather keep her off the card? What do you want? You know, so I feel like they kind of tried to alleviate the problem.
Well, not to mention, what's one of the things that we all constantly bitch about when we talk about WrestleMania? It's 100 fucking match card.
Yeah.
So I mean, at least if you put both of the women's titles in that main event, as weird and random and out of fucking nowhere as it was,
right?
It does eliminate that problem. It eliminates one match. It prevents that match from being a complete and total afterthought. Because let's face it, unfortunately, we're still in an era where booking two women's feuds is about all we can ask for. And the two women's feuds right now are the clusterfuck of a main event scene and the tag team stuff.
Yeah, they're putting all their eggs in that in those two baskets right now. And it's kind of unfortunate because I'm sure there are some things you probably could have cut in order to work on having a proper feud for the SmackDown Women's title. But that's not the route they chose to go, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, I'm sure. But where do you want to start with this? Because this has kind of been a big week, and I think we're closing in. There's only one more set of shows until WrestleMania. Next week will be the go-home show. So,
well, there's only one more week of shows till WrestleMania. The cards pretty much started to take a pretty definitive shape for the most part. But I think that this week we should take a minute to really seriously, like, we give the fans a lot of shit, and we're going to give them some more shit tonight. We're going to give them a lot of shit tonight because I am sick and tired of hearing all of these different corners of the fandom talk about all these things that they want, and they're being given exactly what they said that they fucking want, and they are still bitching about it.
So give me some
still
examples.
Bitching about it. All right, I'll give us an example. Kofi Mania.
Okay.
I'm here for Kofi Mania. You're here for Kofi Mania.
Definitely.
The Edge is standing hard for Kofi Mania, and so are all the fans. We are all happy for Kofi Mania. except that we're not, because we don't like how we got here. Why did Vince keep screwing Kofi over? Why didn't they just book the match outright? I don't understand. Carl, help me understand.
I am here to help you understand. So for all you wrestling fans right now that hate where they got here, this is, it's a little bit different than what they're, than they've normally done in terms of like all the obstacles that have been thrown in the way. But if you're following along and you're paying attention at home, and we discussed this last week, the and Big E put it in his promo where, you know, black people have to work twice as hard to get half of what other people have. And that's essentially what's happened here. They're playing off of this, you know, of, like, as Rance put it, the racial undertones at this point. It's hard, like I told him, it's hard for me to say undertones at this point. It's pretty much there in your face. And you got to be living under your MAGA rock not to know what's happening, not to see it. I've got people that I know that aren't, that don't like that kind of stuff, that are, it's very obvious to them, oh, this is what's happening.
I mean, right down to the Vince's last line on Tuesday night. What a gangster-ass line that shit is. Can a B-plus player win on the grandest stage of them all?
Well, Vince, this is, so... The one thing I'll have to say about people that aren't understanding where they're going here, okay? Kofi Mania is running wild, but it doesn't happen without Vince, I don't think. I think Kofi still gets the pops, right? But you know that Vince is behind someone when he's directly involved. And this, so literally, like...
And going out of his way to put Kofi over. And if y'all don't get it, like, I don't want to be that fan because I hate elitism. But, like, if y'all don't get it, then I question how long y'all have really been watching wrestling.
Right. I get – yeah, you're right. And I think that's – there's always a chase element to the – this is what makes babyface champions kind of shitty, but it's what makes it fun watching them get there. The chase is always the perfect thing for the face. That's why I'm a proponent of heels have long title runs. Babyfaces take
them
down.
And then
– And another thing that the fans say that they want, that Kofi Mania has been a good example of, is we all talk about continuity and shared universe and shared storytelling. How many members of the upper card of the SmackDown locker room have been key players in Kofi Mania?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot,
if you think about whether it's just mentioning Kofi in a promo or going out of their way, the entire upper part of the tag team division has either been the obstacle in the forms of the bar or the Usos just being the low-key respect cheerleaders. Like,
who literally
coming
forfeited
out,
on Tuesday.
Yeah, coming out on Tuesday and giving a typical fire Usos promo of less than 20 words, just like, yo, we've been to war with the New Day. We've been there and back. Yo, Kofi, good luck at WrestleMania. We forfeit. Drop the mic. Walk away. Like, them doing that. AJ shouting him out in his promos with, shout out to my good friend, Kofi Kingston. Miz bringing up how you can't hold Kofi back. Like, the entire SmackDown card, in one way or another, has been involved in this push. You say you want a shared universe, you got a shared universe. You say you want Kofi to get the shot one-on-one for the title at WrestleMania, he's going to get the shot one-on-one for the title at WrestleMania, and he could potentially become the first black WWE champion, not counting The Rock. The first all the way, 100% black, WWE champion, and y'all gonna sit here and bitch about the how?
And see, that's what I don't understand, because the how is the most, the moment of him winning, if he wins, is obviously the biggest part of it, but it's always the journey that is the biggest, like, if it was just like, hey, Kofi, here's your title shot, see you at WrestleMania with no story, nobody would care. I really don't think so, regardless of the fact that he would be the first, you know, black man to win the WWE championship, almost a WWF. I say that too much in, like, my, like, on Twitter and stuff. I'm like, the World Wrestling Federation.
Yo, man.
I need to stop doing that.
Get the F out.
Yeah, I need to stop doing that. But But this is, it's the journey, right? It's the same thing Daniel Bryan had to go through when he was the B-plus player. This isn't, it's a simple formula with a little bit
this different... This formula goes back to Austin, man. Like, exactly, the corporate rumble. The corporate rumble.
The corporate rumble, yeah. And here's the thing, even if Kofi wins the title, I don't expect him to hold it very long. He may not hold it more than a month. Like, I know that sounds kind of shitty, but I kind of, in my own fantasy booking world, I feel like we're reaching the conclusion to where we may see the breakup of the New Day. I know a lot of people don't like that, but I think the reason why this
was better way for them to break up? What better way for them to break up? Well, why break up? Well, you got the title, Hoss.
And it's not even just that. The New Day had to actually be the ones to finally get him there. Like, actually get him there.
Yep. Xavier Woods took a beating for you. Yeah. Big E took a beating for you.
So I think... Now, you could still run the mutual respect. Like, hey, you guys are my brothers. I'll give you all title shots. But I don't know. I don't necessarily see that happening. So there's... The New Day has been, what, 5 years now?
Something like that? Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not saying it's run its course or anything, but it's definitely, you could break it up and it would be okay. But I think what we need to get back to the point here is just, we don't know where they're going with this. We know that this has been what they, it's called the road to WrestleMania for a reason. So, just allow the stories to play out. You don't have to like it. Me and Kyle are going to be shitting on a story here in just a few minutes that we don't like right now, okay? And that's okay. You don't have to like it, but don't get on the Twitter account and be like, we want this. And then when you get there, be like, I don't like the way we got this. That, to me, is a problem. Like, I don't... My thing
that's
is,
why Daniel Bryan, our Captain Planet, is right. You are fickle!
Fickle. That's right. Fickle. I mean, it's... It kind of plays into the whole, like, even if Kofi doesn't win, or even if this is the match you wanted, like, enjoy the story, because you don't get these, like, a lot of times, this has actually been a good story. So what if they threw a lot of roadblocks in front of them? You know? I mean, that's exactly
isn't
what
that
you would
the
expect.
Point?
Yeah. It's not the way they did it with Becky, where she won the Rumble, you know, so she was, granted, she's had a few roadblocks, but nothing compared to Kofi. Because Becky was already an over character to begin with. Kofi, who, while over, to the level he's at now, is completely different. So it's easier for Vince to be like, this is flash in the pan kind of stuff. Let's, you know, and not to mention throw the racial stuff in there. Let's see what he's really made of. Whereas Becky, you know you've got money in Becky Lynch if you're Vince McMahon. You know, so I don't know. Like, I just think there's, not all the stories have to be great. But there's really, as long as you're getting what you want... And
here's the thing, y'all. I'm going to come out and say it. I will say it. The Kofi story has been better than the Becky story.
Oh, by
it's
far.
Been a way better story.
That's
if
why I've
you're
been
just
advocating
at the
for
story.
Its main event. But,
Becky's character rise has been a great moment in the last year. And the women getting the shot to main event is a great moment in the last year. But the Kofi story right now, the story that they're telling, a story that they had to audible into and just kind of stumbled into organically. Another thing you say you want that you just got.
Yeah.
And it's just been such a better told story because it's simple. Because you know what the problem with the Becky feud has been? And I've been real quiet while y'all have been shitting on the feud, and I haven't said a whole lot. But here's the real problem with the feud, and here's why I think y'all have turned on it so quickly. It got so fucking convoluted.
It's watered down badly,
and for all the reasons we've talked about, overexposure, blah, 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 stuff we've said before. We don't need to talk about that part.
Yeah.
But it's so convoluted. It got so complicated. Instead of telling the simple story between Becky and Charlotte, you entered a match you weren't even in and stole my opportunity, the same thing you accused me of doing because you're a fucking hypocrite like everybody else is, and like really playing that up, you throw this like super complicated fucking story in about who's the chosen one and who's not, and then Rhonda gets pissed and her as a heel is going to be way better because she's a natural heel because she's dislikable, but like not the point. It's just gotten so complicated. Beat the clock challenges, like,
yeah,
what the fuck's going on?
There's not a lot, like, they've, so this is, and we'll kind of, I'll tie a bow on the Kofi thing with this. So the thing about the Kofi and the Becky thing that's different is that the women aren't getting, if this was just Becky and Charlotte, this would be a story, a good story. It would probably be on the mid-card at WrestleMania. I mean, I don't think anybody can really deny it. I mean, you can try to deny that, but the rise of Becky Lynch doesn't happen without two things. Her coming after Ronda and Nia Jax breaking Becky's face. Honestly, I think that's, she has a lot, she has Nia to thank for a lot of this. But the reality of the situation is the Becky Lynch story, as good as much as we love Becky, as much as most of us love Charlotte, as much of us dislike Ronda at this point, like, none of this happens without Ronda Rousey. The Kofi,
you're right.
The Kofi Kingston stuff happened because of Kofi Kingston. He went out there and made it happen. He went out there and put on a show. We were reminded of how good he was in his performance in that gauntlet prior to the Elimination Chamber and the Elimination Chamber. We've always known Becky was great. But Becky was never going to be in the position she was in without Ronda Rousey. I'm not saying that.
Well,
like,
and you bring up a good point with the Nia Jax thing. What did we, one of the things we talked about on the show last week was how moments and how, yeah, so much of wrestling is moments. Like, y'all, we're not disrespecting Becky because we love Becky. We do. We love, yeah, Becky as a performer. We're not disrespecting her. We're saying her busting her face and the image, that gif that's floating around the interwebs of her with the blood streaming down her face and her arms spread talking about, this is my house. Like,
yeah,
that is iconic shit. That is Austin screaming with blood pouring down his face and passing out in the sharpshooter.
And
that
dare
is,
I say,
that kind of a moment.
Dare I say that they haven't, the difference between that moment and the Kofi Kingston at, say, the Gauntlet match prior to Elimination Chamber is, with Kofi Kingston, they've been able to replicate those moments every step of the way. Whereas with Becky, her peak was that moment, in my opinion.
But I think, because here's, I think, what the difference is. Here's, I think, what the difference is. The Becky breaking her face part was totally unplanned.
Right.
If she doesn't bleed like that, that's one of the few things that I don't necessarily want us to bring back the Attitude Era in any way, shape, or form. I lived through the Attitude Era once,
yeah,
loved it then, don't need it now.
Right.
But I wish we would allow for little things like color every now and then when it's a good story moment. Because if she's, yeah, because if she's not colorful in that moment, it's still a cool moment. But it's not an iconic moment.
Yeah, it's not. You're right. 100%.
And you can't replicate that kind of accidental iconic moment. Everything with Kofi has been deliberate, even if it was audible. They deliberately decided, all right, we'll give Kofi that same push we were going to give Mustafa before he got hurt. We'll see where it goes, and let's go from there. If we've got KO as our backup plan.
Sure.
Oh, shit. Kofi's amazing. We've always known that. And now the fans remembered that they've always known that. And they love Kofi. Let's give them more amazing Kofi shit.
Well, we don't see Kofi in singles matches very often. So that's, you know.
And he intentionally had been taking a back burner in the tag matches even. Like,
sure.
Xavier and Big E was the combination way more in the last year and a half than Kofi and either of them.
Yeah, you're right. So I feel like that it just kind of, it shows you. And while I'm, you know, we know now that the women are going to main event WrestleMania.
And that's huge. And we're very, like, we're not going to sit here and take away from that. That is huge.
No, they deserve it. And I've never been one of those people that said they don't deserve this. But I am one of them. I'm kind of a little bit in the way I feel about how a main event should go. It should be the most over story, the most popular story, which right now I feel like is Kofi Kingston. However, we kind of knew this is where they were going with the women. And that's okay, because the women, as Rance put it when he was defending that side of it, was they've been almost carrying WWE in a lot of ways for the last year and a half.
Yeah, it's been so, the mid-card, because the tag team scene's been so not so much on SmackDown, but like on Raw, the tag scene is Here's what it is. On Raw, the tag scene is a dumpster fire, and so the women have to pull that weight. On SmackDown, the U.S. title scene at any given moment, until the last, like, 3 months, the U.S. title scene at any given moment was a dumpster fire, and the women had to carry that mid-card weight.
Absolutely.
That, like, so the women have had to carry so much of the mid-card for the last year and a half to 2 years, really. And they've deserved those moments, but it just the whole Kofi thing was so emblematic of how you say you want something and you get it and you still complain. So, like, why do we give you the things that we want, that you say you want? Why bother to, like, Rance says that on the show all the time, why bother to give you what you want when anytime you get what you want, you still complain?
You find a reason to be mad no matter what.
Another great example, our favorite hunchback and yours, Curdy Moto, on his retirement tour, and they announce Baron Corbin has his opponent, and now all of a sudden the dirt sheets are saying, the streets are talking, and the rumor is, now they have not confirmed this yet on the show, but the rumor is that they're going to change that match because the fans didn't want it.
Yeah.
But we still going to be out here bitching.
Well, this is even more egregious to me, because this...
So you don't want part-timers, Baron Corbin, the full-timer.
Timers, and then you give someone like Baron Corbin, that's not the not part-timer we wanted. Like, look, and
even worse, what names do you hear people throw out when they talk about Kurt's last opponent?
John Cena.
Oh, John Cena should come back for that match. Or no, he should face Brock. Or no, he should face...
Name anybody. The Undertaker. I've heard that name thrown around.
Like, you name all these fucking part-timers. But we don't need any more part-timers. He should face Triple H one last time.
Yeah, but I don't
want any more part-timers.
I don't understand that. And this is why I have been adamantly against the idea of that whole thing when the Authority came out and were like, you're the Authority now. I was so against that because, yes, it's okay to play to the fans on some things, okay? But this year, more than ever, it feels like we're giving the fans what they really want. And so you're not even going to allow a little wiggle room. Like, it's like, okay, you're giving us Kofi, and you're giving us Becky, and you're giving us, to a lesser degree, Seth Rollins, right? But,
and Roman and Brock are both not going to be in the main event this year.
Right. You dare put Baron Corbin in a mid-card match at WrestleMania against Kurt? Like, come on. How much, like, what do you, like... This is why you don't give them power. This is why you don't always give them what they want.
Well, and there's power, and then there's power. Like, you don't empower the fans to make personnel decisions. That's your job.
Yeah,
that's your job.
An example of empowerment that I was for, protesting the Saudi Arabia events or the Fabulous Moolah Battle Royal, those kinds of things. I appreciated those. That's different, you know, but. Actually, it's like Baron Corbin, like, you don't have to like him, but he's a full-time performer. He's pretty good, by the way. And not only that...
He's a lot better than you want to admit, y'all. You hate him. And that's the point.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
You hate him so much that you don't want to see him. And then you rationalize your cognitive dissonance by saying, oh, no, that's X-Pac heat. No, it's not. You just getting worked, but you think you're too good to be worked.
Right. We're in a new stage now where that's...
You're so woke that you can't be worked. Right. No, bitch. You getting worked.
I like to be worked, personally.
I love being worked. I hate Elias. I love to be worked. I hate Elias. I don't want to see his ass. That's
working.
A good thing.
Yeah, agreed. But I don't like... Man, and it upsets me because... Corbin, one, if you actually like know a little bit, for all you smart fans that hate him, if you actually know a little bit about his background, he is like, he really loves what he does. Like, this isn't just like a guy who's just there for a paycheck. Like, he's there because, yeah, the NFL didn't work out. That happens to a lot of guys, but he really loves this, and you want to, like, this is a moment, and he's been an integral part of that show for the better part of a year.
And he was an integral part of SmackDown before that.
Yeah, like, he's more than earned an opportunity to have a pretty mid-card profile kind of match at WrestleMania.
I've compared Baron Corbin to Kane on numerous occasions as a mid-card hoss. And this is what the mid-card hoss gets. The mid-card hoss gets a squash match in the middle of the card.
Yeah. And that's another thing. I don't think this match is going to go on longer for anybody to be worried about it.
It can't go on very long. Kurt can't even take a suplex anymore, y'all. Kurt's out there doing forward rolls.
He is. He's terrible. He looks terrible. And I've said that, too. My beef with the match is Angle. Like, I don't want to see Kurt wrestle anymore. And I love Kurt. We had this conversation last week where you called him a B-plus player. Like, I am one of the biggest Kurt Angle fans you're ever going to meet. But 50-year-old Kurt Angle, however old he is right now, I'm not on that.
Son.
He looks worse than The Undertaker.
I'll take Kurt Angle versus Shane McMahon in 2001 at the King of the Ring any day of the week. That Kurt Angle can do anything he fucking wants. This 2019 version, no,
so much. Yeah, it's bad. And I,
you sit down. No,
I just I don't know. This feels like.
And to go back to this fan empowerment that we were talking about, I'll give a more tangible example that's easier for people to understand. As y'all know, I'm a teacher. I'll empower my students. I'll let them pick a partner sometimes. Right. I'll let them pick a product to make for a project sometimes. But I'm not going to sit here and let my students tell me that we're not going to do World War II because they don't like it.
Right, yeah.
Suck it up, Buttercup. You better look at these Holocaust pictures and remember.
Right, and you're not like, it's not, that's a really good example, because it's not like, you're not, they don't get to make the lesson plan.
No, at the end of the day, you can make a song or write a rap or make a visual presentation or do a PowerPoint. Sure, you can have that kind of power, but you're not going to sit here and tell me what's on the course of study.
Right. That's why I'm with you on that, because it's one of those things where it's just the best way to put it is they fill their diapers up real fast right now, wrestling fans do, and they think that they should be in charge of something that they have no experience doing. That is like, I'm not going to walk in to, I don't know.
You're not going to walk into my room and try to teach my class for me.
Right. I'm
not going to walk onto your job and try to do what you do.
And we're not like, I'm not going to walk in and be like, hey, Kyle, I got this. I know how to do this.
Unless I ever have to teach economics, in which case you're totally coming in as my guest lecturer. But I'm not going to walk into some business room and be like, well, Carl, actually.
Right, exactly. And I think that's...
We're not going to tell Rance how to do IT.
I think that's where we are, though. Like, I think you would agree. Like, they think that it's a no... And, of course, we kind of sound like know-it-alls telling them that they're not know-it-alls, but we're right here. We know it. This is our show, so we know that we're right on this.
No, they just think that we're pandering defenders and blah, blah, blah. Y'all, we're not saying you shouldn't have a voice. Yeah, you should... like, Kofi Mania is a great example of using your voice positively.
Right.
But, like, bitching on Twitter because you don't like Baron Corbin so badly that you make them contemplate pulling this match so that we can put Kurt Angle against somebody else who's also broken down is some shit.
It's dumb. It really is. And I think it really just kind of ruins, like, you're not allowing them to tell any stories when you do that.
They have built this story for months.
Absolutely.
Months.
Definitely. Well, people forget, Baron was the one who took Kurt's job. Like, this isn't just
Baron Corbin was juggling
thing.
Like five storylines at once. He was in the never-ending story with Finn Balor. He was fighting against the Shield. He was Kurt's foe. Like, Baron Corbin's been doing this shit for months, and y'all can't let him have 5 minutes?
I know. That's what I'm saying. He earned the opportunity. He was an integral part of Raw for the last year. Like, he's been there every week. Like, give me a fucking break. Like, just because you want to see someone else, There would be no stories. There would be, like, wrestling would be terrible if the fans just approached, like, were just ruined, like, decided they were changing everything, protesting everything. You know what I mean? I don't know, man. That's just this one bugs me, and it's not even a match I'm interested in.
No, that's the worst part. I don't even care about the match. I would have skipped the match. I would have skipped the match actively.
And now I just hope Baron Corbin squashes him. I do. I actually think he should anyway, but I feel like that's what they deserve. You know what I mean? Like, that's what y'all deserve. Baron Corbin just goes in there and squashes him in like 2 minutes.
And somehow leaves WrestleMania as like Intercontinental Champion and forces you to watch him with a title in the mid-card or some shit.
I'd be down for that too.
I mean, I'm fine with it. I mean, I ultimately don't care either way because I watch 2 Raws out of every 6. So, like, whatever happens on that show happens.
Whatever happens.
But the moral of our bitching this week, y'all, is just, like, chill the fuck out with your nonsense. If they give you what you say you want, take it. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Right. Don't bite the hand that feeds you. And many other cliches and whatnot. But I do want to touch on this real quick because you mentioned it to me when we were talking about the convoluted story. What are your thoughts on the Charlotte Flair winning the SmackDown's Women's Championship? What do you like? I know you said it was kind of out of nowhere, and I think it was too. But like, what do you think about it? Do you think it was the right decision?
I think it ended up being the only decision for the SmackDown title probably 3 or 4 weeks ago because Asuka had, like, they hadn't been building anything with Asuka. They had built absolutely nothing, and they were just going to have some kind of random-ass one-off match to have a number one contender and then have her face that winner and whatever match at Mania. And one of the things I sat right here on this show last week and bitched about is how everybody gets a Mania match now.
Yeah.
And how, like, yes, everyone deserves a Mania payday, and sure, throw them all in the Andre or the Ovary Trophy Battle Royal or whatever the hell other, like, multi-person match you want to throw them in, fine, whatever, but, like, every single person doesn't need to be on the WrestleMania card if they don't have a logical reason to be there. And at this point, Asuka didn't have a logical reason to be in anything other than the Ovary Trophy Battle Royal.
Which, do we even know is still happening?
Oh, I'm sure it'll still happen. Like, they'll give them the same thing that they did with the Andre. So, like, I'm sure it'll happen. It'll probably be on the pre-show. It'll have every woman that's not part of the tag match or part of the main car, the main event match. And it'll probably, you know, last 10 minutes and everybody will hit their spots and it'll be a fun little thing and Mandy Rose will win. There you go. That's my prediction.
So I hate her, but
she'll win.
Yeah, she probably will. It's her or it's Mandy Rose.
And I admittedly, and y'all, I admittedly hate Mandy for no other reason than the only thing Mandy brings to the table is sex appeal, and I'm way too gay to be here for Mandy Rose's sex appeal.
Understood. So, I kind of wanted to touch on that a little bit, the Charlotte thing. The reason why I bring it up is a couple of reasons. One, I'll start with Asuka first, because she's kind of the afterthought of all this.
Unfortunate for her, too.
It is. But for her, this to me is another case of... There was outrage over this, by the way.
Of course there was.
A lot of people were pissed about
this. People have been bitching nonstop.
Yeah. But this
just another example of people bitching.
With this being the theme of our show, I'm going to go ahead and try and defend it a little bit. So, a lot of people were mad because Asuka didn't have, like you said, wasn't being built for anything.
Inexcusable. Right. Rance and I for weeks talked about how, I know you don't listen to the show most of the time, so you probably didn't hear this. We talked for weeks about how they had a ready-made story if they turned Asuka and had Asuka and Naomi face off.
Right. Yeah.
When Naomi, especially if they'd have done it while Naomi was still doing her thing with Mandy and Sonya, right. Because Naomi and Asuka had been a tag team for all that time before Asuka won the title. And it's like, okay, Asuka comes to defend her friend, but then in the end, like, Roundhouse kicks her or some shit.
Right.
And it's like, you think you can use me or something? Like, it doesn't even have to be a good reason. Just right. Asuka turns on her ass. And so now, boom, ready-made, great 5 to 10 minute. Well, no, not 5. 10 minute. Right. Great 10 to 15 minute exchange between Naomi and Asuka in the middle of the card. It'll be a great opportunity for both of them to shine. It would have been awesome.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's definitely one thing they could have done. So that's on them for not putting that together. However, with that being said, we know that they didn't go that route. So there was the complaint of, well, even if she has a match, it's just going to be something thrown together. Well, you just got your wish. No match now because she's not champ anymore. So that then it turns into, well, she deserves better. Well, we've already admitted that she deserves better in terms of she should have had a feud. But don't come at me with this whole Asuka's being buried shit that you see. Because, first of all, 2 months ago, she just made the biggest star in the company tap out at the Royal Rumble. Let's not forget that.
And 48, 72, however many hours ago, depending on when you might be listening to the show, she was the fucking women's champion.
Yeah, and had been for a pretty good amount of time.
And dominant.
Yeah,
it's exactly. Not like she was taking L's every week. She just ragdolled Mandy and Sonya.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing is, like, not this year, obviously, Becky, but the year prior, she won the first ever Women's Royal Rumble. She is not
And she was undefeated heading into WrestleMania.
Right.
Like,
this is just,
Charlotte was her first loss.
This is, man, I want to get off that because I'm already... It frustrates me because, while I do like Asuka a lot, we have kind of brought to the surface a little bit that she doesn't really have a strong character, and that hurts her.
Asuka's inability to communicate effectively, and it's understandable. I'm not shitting on her for it. We have numerously said English is hard as fuck. I get it. But her inability to communicate limits their ability to push her because it limits the ability to tell stories.
Right.
Unless she just becomes a Ronda Rousey-esque silent killer.
Well, if you go back to her New Japan, or not New Japan, but when she was working in Japan, and she kind of had the whole crazy gimmick going on with the crazy face paint and stuff like that, that's a route you could go right now. Like that, you could push towards that route, maybe post-WrestleMania, something like that. And then you've automatically got a built-in feud to SummerSlam saying, you know, as long as they're not unifying the women's championships, which I don't believe they are, Charlotte and Asuka's built in for the next month
or two
anyway.
I mean, Asuka and Naomi is still a story you can tell at literally any time because you can always play up that history. If she goes crazy chick like you just said, it can be, what happened to you? We, like, this isn't you. I don't understand. And then Asuka can molly whoop her. Right. Even though I love Naomi, Asuka can molly whoop her. And there's a great mid-card feud to occupy SmackDown for a couple weeks.
And not to mention, Asuka's going to owe Charlotte an ass-whooping at some point anyway. They've had two
big-time
matches.
Oh, everybody's
got to
catch an ass-whooping at some point, and Asuka's kept receipts.
Exactly. So, I want to jump to the Charlotte part of it for a second, though. So, for me...
Y'all, this... we're off Charlotte, yo.
Yeah, oh, well, I think we all know that. But, she's getting heat because it's the whole, oh, she's won 8 women's championships, the most of any woman, blah, 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 blah. Yes. That's because Charlotte is the best. And I'm sorry that hurts feelings.
Like, genetically superior really is more than a catchphrase. And I don't say that lightly. Like, homegirl is one of, like, not just one of the best female wrestlers of all time. She's, like, slowly inching up there into one of the best wrestlers, period, discussion.
Yeah, exactly. So, first of all, this whole, like, she gets pushed too much, you might as well live with it. Y'all, I didn't hear y'all bitching about Rick
I wish
Flair's
I could have seen her
reigns.
I wish I could have seen her versus like an Angelina Young in or Angelina Young Angelina Love in her prime or sure. Like a lot of those TNA knockouts back when TNA had that bomb ass women's division I wish I could have seen some of them in their prime versus her now
sure yeah
because like those would have been such good matches. So, I wish I could have seen her versus a Melina. I wish Melina hadn't burned every bridge she had in that company. And she could come back. And that she could come back as the legend role. Because I bet she can still go in the ring because she still does from time to time. Right. And man, that's another one. That match would deliver. Or Melina versus Sasha Banks, like crazy chick versus crazy chick.
I'd be here for that too. And speaking of Sasha Banks, that's the other thing. The rumor has it, the rumor mill, if you are to believe it, says that they're potentially, the reason why they may have done this is because they're trying to get that four horsewomen pose down at the end of Mania. You got your tag champs, Sasha and Bayley. They successfully defend them. You got your SmackDowns champ. I don't think they're unifying the titles. That's what a lot of people, other people have been thinking, but I don't think that's what they're doing. And then if Becky wins the ladder match, if Becky wins the women's championship match, all four of the horsewomen will be champs. You get your pose down. And people, there's people that are saying that doesn't make sense because Becky and Charlotte have been feuding for however long. However, here's the thing. We still know that no matter how much they might hate each other, there's a mutual respect between the two.
Yeah, y'all, Rock and Austin spent a decade feuding with each other, and they shared a Steve Weiser on more than one occasion.
Right, and not only that, but...
And they all didn't always end with Rock taking a stunner.
Right.
Sometimes they just shared that Steve Weiser.
Sometimes they had a Steve Weiser. And it's the same thing if you go back to late last year when Becky got punched in the face. Her and Charlotte were in the middle of a blood feud with each other, and she still chose Charlotte to face Ronda because there's the respect factor. So this is, if that is the idea, which I'm for it, by the way, it does two things. One, it puts a nice bow on the four women who have inarguably carried women's wrestling, the women's division in the WWE, for the last couple years.
Well,
period.
Carried it to new heights. Carried
it to new heights. Sure. And two, there's still that piece of me that thinks at some point they're going to go with that four horsewomen versus four horsewomen thing.
And that's a great way to really sow some seeds for that.
Right. We're the best. We ended WrestleMania on top. And then at some point you make that transition because, listen,
Shayna Baszler is money waiting to be printed.
She is. And I think
she is money waiting to happen.
She's someone I can see being back, being on the main roster by the next day. Because I just don't think she's getting out of that four-way with the title. It feels like it's time for her. You know what I mean? Especially with the rumor that Roddy's wife
her,
in the Undisputed
I would
era.
Love to have her be Becky's next feud and have her show the fuck up and just, like, break Becky's arm.
Well, I think Becky's... If Becky wins the Raw title, I think her next feud is Nia Jax.
Probably.
Because she still owes her receipts for that punch to the face.
I'm just saying.
You're right.
For Shayna.
But you're right. I would like to see that as well. I was discussing that with a friend of mine earlier. Like, I've kind of been worried about the fans turning on Becky pretty quick because there's not a lot of places to go with her. Even on Raw, like, you can have her defend the title against Sasha, but Sasha's kind of preoccupied right now. So you can go with Nia. After that, you look on the women's division. I mean, Ruby Riott? Like, nobody really. Like, I mean, the Riott Squad, they don't strike fear in the hearts, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, but
not a lot of great.
You mean Becky's not supposed to be scared of Alexa?
Yeah.
Alexa is a six-time champion.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll believe she's coming back to the ring when she's actually back in the fucking ring. Because I just, like, I don't know. I don't fucking know what they're doing.
Well, see, that's why I think you can see the Becky stuff cool quickly. Because I don't know that they have a lot of, unless they got something under their sleeve, well, like a Shayna Baszler, which would be great. It's very easy. It's very easy for me to see that the whole Becky thing going down fast. But I'm not hoping for that. And I actually, the other thing I want to say about this is, if you guys don't see how hard they're trying to put Becky Lynch over, you've lost your fucking mind. For everyone who's been mad about Charlotte being in this and Ronda doing the whole wrestling's fake and I'm going to whoop all their asses.
Yeah,
and
you said
stuff.
You wanted Becky in the main event. You got Becky in the main event. Shut your fucking mouths.
And not only are you getting Becky in the main event, but barring Vince being on something crazy that night, I just find it hard to believe he's going to let the fans leave 2 years in a row pissed off at how the main event went down of WrestleMania. I just don't see it happen. Becky Lynch has got to win the title. And not only is she going to do it, she's probably going to make Ronda Rousey tap out. And she's going to be able to say, not only did I make the baddest woman in the world or whatever lose on a tap out, but I also beat SmackDown Women's Champion in the process. She's being put over immensely right now. Yeah. I just think we need to recognize that and not turn it into this whole, like, well, once again, the match isn't the match I wanted, or it isn't the way I wanted it. Yeah, but you are here for Becky, right? That's what you're here for. You're not, you know, you're here for Becky Lynch, and you're getting Becky Lynch at the in the biggest spot. It gets no bigger than the main event of WrestleMania, period. And to yeah. win, if she wins, like, come on. The only thing I could see them doing is Ronda somehow winning. Charlotte's not winning that match, but I can see Ronda winning the title, retaining the title, just because of who she is. And the only way I see that is if Vince is just like, fuck it, nuclear heat. But I don't think that's a great idea. So, but then again, I don't run the company. And I'm not about to go walk into Vince's office tomorrow and be like, you better do this. Because if it was up to me, Charlotte would win the title. So, you know, because I'm a Charlotte fan. But you got Becky. You got her. Why bitch about it? Like, you got her.
And she's winning that match, y'all. Like,
and the story has not been great. It started out great.
Yeah, it started real great. And then everything just kind of went to shit.
It went to shit real fast. So, I don't know, man. I just feel like they've got to really... These fans have really got to stop with this idea that we're not getting what we want, because you are. You're not maybe getting it in the perfect way, but...
But you're getting everything that you have said that you wanted. You said you didn't want Roman and Brock in the main event. Neither of them are in the main event. Roman's right. match is, like, big for Roman fans, but in the grand scheme of WrestleMania, Roman's in a throwaway match with Drew McIntyre.
I expect that match to open the card, by the way.
Which makes sense, because, like, whether fans like it or not, Roman's the biggest star in the company.
Yeah.
Now that John Cena is a part-timer. Now that John Cena is a part-timer and all the other legends are part-timers, Roman is the biggest full-time star in the company. Roman and Charlotte are pretty much the two biggest stars in that company.
Right.
So,
well, yeah, I do see that match. I think that match will open the show, because I know you don't like Drew that much and you're kind of whatever about Roman. However, I do think that match will deliver. So I think that that'll be...
I think the match will be fine.
I think it'll be a good hot opener, because you always have to have that one hot opener. And I think it gives the fans...
If it doesn't open, then AJ versus MAGA Orton opens.
Sure, yeah. I could see that, too. That's another good choice. I'm trying to think if there's any others.
The MAGA powers. The MAGA powers collide.
The MAGA powers. Those would be the only... Outside of... You might be able to run with the women's tag match to open, but I don't know about that.
If Big E and Xavier get a shot at the Usos, then they could open.
Yeah, the Usos, they don't have a match yet, do they?
Not yet, but it's never too late.
Yeah,
there's always room on my card for Jimmy and Jey Uso.
Yeah, and, you know, WWE will throw a few things together towards the end, because they got to get their 20-match quota.
Yeah, they lost a match now that Asuka doesn't have a title.
Right, so they got to do something.
Yeah.
Either that, or they're going to have some really long-ass matches.
Yeah, no, but either way, so you said you didn't want that, so they're both not near the main event. They're not in the main event. They're that match will probably open. I firmly expect Brock and Seth to be, like, firmly in the mid-card. So you're getting that. You said you wanted fewer part-timers, and overall, you're getting, like, not a lot of part-timers, and the part-timers you're getting are either in self-contained angles or in angles designed to put over full-timers.
Yep.
Triple H and Batista is a self-contained story. Brock will be there probably to finally drop the belt. We don't know for sure, but probably he's finally going to drop the belt.
He is the one of the big three matches where I could see him winning, only because he's not main eventing. And I feel like it's rare to see a Brock Lesnar match not main event and then he loses. I think that's kind of a tough one, but I like... Everyone is convinced that we're going to get all three. I'm still not convinced of that. We're going to get Kofi. We're going to get Seth. We're going to get Becky.
I don't really care, because I'm like the only smark on the internet who doesn't give a shit about Seth Rollins. So, like, I don't give a fuck. But I just feel like the way that they've told the story is it feels like they're telling the story of Brock finally losing the belt.
Right.
So that's another part-timer. Shane is definitely putting over The Miz. He might – I don't know if it'll be because he loses the match, but Shane gonna catch that ass whooping.
Got to.
And
you
he's
can't have a feud where like you put your hands on someone's father and lose.
And Beth is there just as a legend to give the women's tag titles some shine. They ain't winning the women's tag titles.
No, and so, here's like, the thing. Like Shane McMahon, I know that like we consider him a part timer.
But he's there every fucking week.
Yeah, he is a full time performer on the roster.
Just a part time wrestler.
Part time wrestler, but he is full time character on WWE television.
And, can continue to make the Miz's life miserable.
Right, exactly. And Kurt Angle kind of is too, if you think about it. Like, I mean, part-time wrestler, but he's been a full-time character since the night after the Hall of Fame when he got inducted.
And Kurt has announced that his match is his retirement match, and y'all, any professional wrestler will tell you, when you retire looking at the lights.
That's true. I sure hope so.
So
if he wins, he may not be done wrestling. Let's put it that way. That's kind of my thought process on it. If he wins the match, he may not be done wrestling.
Oh, we need him to lose. I don't care if he loses by count out. We need him to lose. But, yeah, so, like, all of these, you said that you want that. The part-timers are way de-emphasized. You said you want the women to get an opportunity to main event. They're main eventing. You wanted Kofi Mania? You got Kofi Mania. Like, all these things you said that you want, you're getting. And yet all you're doing is bitching.
And I want to touch on one last thing, because this is going to be a little bit of a shorter show because we don't have three voices probably this time. We're running about an hour right now, maybe close to it.
Edge light.
So. Edge light. But I want to touch on one thing, though. We talked about it a little bit before. But the one thing that's being bitched about, and I'm almost in amazement, is the length of the card and the like in terms of how many matches and the time frame. I'm still not over this one, and I need someone to talk me down to not be angry, because, first of all, let me ask you this. If this was non-network days, when you still paid $50-$60 for a pay-per-view, would you be mad about getting a 7-8 hour show with 15 plus matches when you spent $60?
I mean, if I spend $60 on something, I better get my fucking money's worth.
Right.
But I also take the approach. But then again, I'm a gay entertainment person, so I take the approach. It's like the Oscars. If it's Oscars day, I know I'm about to sit down and devote 3 to 4 hours of my life to this bullshit.
Right.
I just sit down knowing I have snacks. I have pre-planned activities.
Right.
Like, I know that's how that goes. This is WrestleMania. Y'all know how that goes. And these same fuckers that'll watch Wrestle Kingdom from start to finish, and I will watch Wrestle Kingdom from start to finish. I will. But I'm also not the one that's going to sit here and bitch about the fact that WrestleMania is going to probably be a 6-hour card. Especially because if WrestleMania being a 6-hour card means that all of these matches get at least 10 to 15 minutes on the low end,
right,
then that's worth it, because that means that we're not rushing people onto the card just for them to be squashed.
Which used to be a thing, by the way. Used to cut time.
We talk classic trope. The women are going to get the main event this year. Once upon a time, the women used to be told, "All right, girls, you got 3 minutes. Go out there and do something."
Once upon a time, Molly Holly shaved her head just so she could have a match on the card.
But she was the only women's champion in the company.
Right.
And they just had nothing for her. And she's like, well, what if I agree to shave my head?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we could work with that.
Yeah, exactly. So, and here, I think what it is, we've become so spoiled. We're like, well, shit, we pay $10. We pay $10 a month now for the network. That's awesome. You know how lucky we are to be able to do that?
Well, it's also the abundance of wrestling content. We talk about it all the time. There's so much wrestling out there. So whatever your niche of wrestling is, you can find it. So, you know, Rance hates Lucha, but there's all kinds of Lucha out there if you're a Lucha person. Mm-hmm. You know, there's every indie out there imaginable. They're all very accessible. There's all sorts of different streaming options. Like, there's so much content out there that people are like, real nitpicky, and it's real easy to nitpick WWE because they're the most abundant content. They're the easiest to access. Yeah. They're the big dog.
They're the empire.
Yeah.
You know, That's all it is. It's why everybody hates the Yankees. Well, the Yankees can go out and buy any baseball player they want. That used to be the big thing with the Yankees, right? They're the evil empire. So if the Yankees don't win the World Series, we're going to shit all over them. If WWE does a thing we don't like, how can you do this? You have all the resources and all the streaming abilities, and you have all the advantages. So,
and I'm over here, meanwhile, saying, listen, y'all can hate on Tom Brady all you want, but this motherfucker taking scrubs to the Super Bowl year after year after year. Can you name, other than Randy Moss and Wes Welker, can you name some Hall of Fame wide receivers, not tight ends, receivers that he took to the promised land?
Wes Welker isn't going to the Hall of Fame either.
Nope, he's not.
Randy Moss is going to the Hall of Fame.
Shit.
He may have already gotten in. I don't know, but he's going in because of what he did before he came to New England.
Anyway, oh, yeah.
He could have never come to
his
New England.
His rookie year in Minnesota was Hall of Fame worthy.
Right.
Straight cash, homie.
So, yeah. So, you're right. Like, you can't. You can't name anybody. But it's just, I just don't understand being mad about more wrestling.
I get it in the sense that we have short attention spans and people don't want to devote that much of a chunk of their time to a particular activity. But at the same time, like, ain't nobody forcing you to watch it all at once.
And not to mention, it's on a Sunday afternoon and it'll be over at like 11 or 12 at night. Wrestle Kingdom goes, what, 5-6 hours, something like that? And if you're in America, you're watching that shit in the morning, like 1 o'clock a.m.
Yeah, but Wrestle Kingdom is also, because it's a Saturday in Japan, so, like, we behind, so, like, you can watch that shit on, or, I mean, it's Sunday in Japan, but it's still Saturday here, so, like, you can watch that shit Sunday morning, and it's not that big a deal.
If you don't have work the next day, yeah. I get that, but even still, I mean, like, most of us that are in our 30s are pretty okay with one night a year, I'm sure, staying up till midnight. Good Lord. Like, I stay up till midnight.
I wake up at 5 a.m., y'all, and I'm up till midnight on the regular. Like, suck it up.
Yeah. You're talking about one. Take the next day off. People do it all the time for the Super Bowl or whatever. Just take Monday off if you can. I'm not saying, obviously, not everybody has that same circumstance, but I don't think they're not bitching about the fact they got to be at work the next day. They're bitching to bitch.
Yep.
Too long. Too many matches I don't like. Blah, 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 blah. Like, just fucking watch it in parts. Stay off your phone. Stay off the internet for 30 seconds of your life and just watch what you want to watch.
Just do other shit for the matches you don't want to watch. Do you think I'm going to watch this year's Intercontinental title match? Do you think I even know what that match is?
Right. There may not be a match yet.
I don't even know. But I can guarantee you, if it's some combination of Finn Balor and Bobby Lashley, I ain't watching that shit no more. I've seen this play before.
You know what I do when I'm watching stuff and there's nothing and it's something I don't want to watch? I drink a beer. I chat with my friends. I reminisce. If you're watching with your buddies.
I take my beagle out for a stroll.
There you go. Take your dog outside. Your dog needs attention too.
Yeah. Take your dog outside. Your yard and play catch. Like,
go talk to your wife before she leaves you for someone else who doesn't watch wrestling.
Kids in. Read a bedtime story. I don't fucking know.
Anything.
Shit. Get high and eat chicken. I don't know what you want to do. Like, do it. But like,
this is nothing to be bitching about. It's just not. I really just don't think it is.
Not when you consider all the things that it looks like you're going to get.
Right.
Unless they're just massively trolling you, all these things that you've wanted for so long, you're finally going to get. And instead of being salty about it, just like tolerate the other shit and get excited for those cool things.
I would be able to accept it more if people actually followed through on their bullshit. Like, I'm not,
because we know y'all aren't canceling the fucking network. We know y'all aren't going to stop watching Raw. We know y'all are still going to buy the merch and follow the social medias and read all the dirt sheets. Yep. And blah, blah, blah. You ain't changing your fucking behavior. So all you're doing is being that asshole.
I only know a handful of people that have actually been fed up with the product and left and haven't been back. A handful.
Say, a lot of them leave and then they come back.
Right. I respect those people, though, because at least they followed through with the bullshit. They're mad. They didn't like it. They're gone. Fine. You know what I mean? Like, at least, at the very least, they stuck to their guns. Even if I think it's a little ridiculous. But hey, you have that right. But if you're just going to sit around and cry about this, that, and the other, and then turn around on the next day and be like, and then when Raw starts, be like, why are you watching? And now you're bitching about Raw. It's like, find something else to bitch about. There's a lot of other things to be mad about right now.
Oh, there's a whole lot of things to be mad about. Like, depending on which country you live in, take your pick. They're all pretty fucked right now.
Yeah, exactly. I just don't, I don't know, man. We spend a lot of time just head scratching more than anything else. It's just this thing, it's.
So let's end. So let's end with some positivity, Brother Carl. Give us. Okay. Let's both give a thing in wrestling that is making us happy right now.
You first.
No, I wanted you to go first so I could think.
Okay. Okay, fine. I've got one. It took me. I thought maybe I didn't have one, but I do. A thing in wrestling that is making me happy right now is The Miz actually getting over as a face.
Ooh, that's a really good one.
Yeah, so he has had one minor face run before that didn't go very well. But this, he's garnered so much respect over the last 10-plus years now that it was time for him to actually not have to be a dick for 5 seconds. And as you said before, he's such a likable guy. You know, usually the likable guys are always better as bad guys for whatever reason. But he definitely, he's earned the respect of the crowd. He's earned the respect of his peers. Like, it was time for a good, accepted face run.
Well, and he's been doing it long enough that for a long time, the very thing that I bring up when I talk about how I know he's such a likable person is a reason why in the beginning so many fans disliked him. Like, a lot of fans in the beginning of his career when he was first getting pushed were just like, who's this douchebag reality show kid? Like, playing wrestler. Like, he thinks he knows what the fuck he's doing or whatever. And now it's like, no, y'all, Miz been in this game for a long time.
Yeah, he has. And he's fantastic.
Yeah.
I said it last week. I think he kind of reminded people why he's one of, if not the best guys on the mic in the company right now. I kind of forgot about that because he was kissing Shane's ass for 2 months, but things are looking good now, and I'm happy to see him get in a role that's actually working. Because I remember that first face run he tried; it didn't last long because it did not go well. So this is, for me, that's a positive because he's one of my favorites anyway. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to see that. What you got?
All right, okay. For mine, I'm gonna use my thing in wrestling that's making me happy right now is that Kevin Owens is back. And in a couple of months, maybe Sammy will be back too. I don't care if Sammy and Kevin are together, but just the fact that both of them will be back on the product regularly and engaged in stories makes me happy because I prefer character in my wrestling. And if there's one thing that both of them have in spades, it's character.
Definitely. And I don't think wherever Kevin is, Sammy isn't too far behind. So even though they may not be together, El Generico and Kevin Steen can't be separated. Like, that's just
never.
That's not gonna happen. Fight Forever is real with those two.
For sure.
Even if it's that we're friends for a few minutes, they'll be fighting again. You know what I mean? Like, that's not going anywhere anytime soon.
And I can tell you something, WrestleMania weekend, even without knowing a whole lot about the build up to it, I can tell you something WrestleMania weekend that's going to make us all happy. That takeover. Because I bet that card's going to fucking deliver in spades.
I don't watch NXT religiously or anything, but I will tell you this right now. I am hype for Walter versus Pete Dunne. You can inject that match into my veins.
If you're not, don't know any better.
And by the way, I do think Pete Dunne is going to be dropping the title too. I feel like that's finally coming to an end. Walter's going to win that belt. But I love Walter, man. I'm so here for Walter. I love those big hoss motherfuckers. Y'all know that. I get on the show and call the little guys nerds all the time. So Walter is right up my alley for someone that That match I'm really looking forward to. That's the one I'm looking forward to the most on the card. I think a lot of people are probably looking forward to Gargano and Adam Cole. But also Velveteen Dream and Matt Riddle. Are you kidding me? Like, we got some good shit going on. The women's four-way. Who is it? It's Bianca Belair,
Shayna,
Io and Kairi Sane?
I want to say yes.
So, another great match in the cards.
And Ricochet and Aleister Black versus the War Raiders.
Yeah. So
War Machine. That'll be it. So just like, it's just going to be a great card. It's Friday night. They switched it up. They moved the Hall of Fame to Saturday. And a lot of people said that, you know, a lot of people are out here saying it's because they don't want to compete with the Madison Square Garden show and blah, blah, blah. First of all, there's enough fans in New York City for WrestleMania weekend to sell out both buildings.
Right.
They sold out MetLife, y'all. Like, WrestleMania is at a football stadium. That football stadium can hold the capacity of both the arena in, or the Barclays Center and Madison Square Garden.
I think they're actually doing the fans a favor.
I think so too, and I think
most of the people that love TakeOver love the show you're going to get, love the kind of stuff you're going to get at the Madison Square Garden show. So I think they're giving them an opportunity to not have to choose. Do all three. I'm not saying like WWE knows that WrestleMania weekend is good for other companies, and I don't think they're trying to take a dump on other companies.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Well, and like one thing, you know, people can say, well, they see them as competition. I don't think they really do see them as competition, and I think that's why they moved the show, because they don't consider them competition.
Right.
If you're, you know, I'll give a businessy example for our more American-based people. I'm a Pepsi person, but I had a friend who had connections to Coca-Cola's corporate offices, so I know enough about the financials of it to know that, like, sure, I love Pepsi, but Coke has way more money. Like,
oh yeah,
like they're not really competing.
And they got their hands in a lot
other.
More products too, subsidiaries and stuff like that.
Well, Pepsi's got their hands in more products. Coke has their hands in more beverages. Pepsi owns
Frito-Lay. That's true.
So
yeah,
all those
right.
potato chips that you be buying are Pepsi
chips.
Money.
That's fair.
But the point I'm trying to make is like. Those two companies don't really directly compete. Like, and if you even look at the types of areas where companies and stadiums and stuff are more likely to be Coke sponsored versus where they're more likely to be Pepsi sponsored, there are a lot of like trends you can see where they're not really the same customer bases.
Right.
New Japan and ROH are still niche markets within the wrestling community. If you're WWE, they're the biggest niche markets, and they're the biggest and closest thing you have to competition, unless this AEW thing really, really, really takes off. But they're not; they're still not big enough to really be like, oh, I need to worry about them. And if they're at that level, then you can more just be like, all right, fine, have your big little show. I'll have my show on this other day.
The bottom line is, at this point, nobody's taking down the giant that is WWE.
Japan
and
Ring of Honor.
Yeah, they've been around for... New Japan and Ring of Honor have been around a while, and if they haven't been able to overtake them now, what makes you think that's going to change in the near future? AEW? I'm all for AEW, because one, I love Cody Rhodes.
Yup.
But...
Check.
Once again, I don't think... Like you said, WWE isn't really
competing.
They own anymore.
The market share. They don't have
yeah.
to compete. Walmart doesn't have
multi-billion dollar contracts from
Walmart
to go to
and Amazon don't have to compete with people, y'all. Like WWE is that level of a company. Like they don't have to compete. They already there. They have their own app. They have like you just said, they had a $1 billion deal with Fox. Like for a while they ran a movie studio. Like They don't need to compete with these other companies.
Right.
And I'm not wishing ill will on any of those companies as competition. I have a New Japan World subscription. I'll probably buy the first couple of AEW pay-per-views and see if it's worth like investing in full time and continuing to ride this out. I went to All In, like
yeah.
Fuck it. Like I'm supportive of wrestling that I like, but like not really competing against the number one global entity in the field.
You're not taking down the Empire.
Yeah.
Which is why your point is very valid. They're not really competing. And I really think that they're just, it gives fans an opportunity to do more.
WWE is smart enough to know that when these other companies get shine and their performers become well known, that WWE can swoop in and get those performers later.
Yeah, scoop them up. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, let me let these kids get some shine and let me listen at Madison Square Garden to see who gets the biggest pops, and then I can make sure that they're on NXT television by SummerSlam.
Right, right, you're right. So I think that kind of puts a bow on everything. Are we supposed to promote the website?
Well, we're not rants, y'all, so here's what we're going to say for the plugs. As you know, The Outsider's Edge is part of The Chair Shot, thechairshot.com. Always use your head. Check out all of the other great shows on The Chair Shot, and I know that there's other shit about The Chair Shot that I'm forgetting to plug. Please forgive me because I'm not
the Patreon.
There's a Patreon. Definitely subscribe to that. There's all kinds of bonus content. We're going to have some bonus content soon. They've got shirts. We don't like that they have a Baron Corbin Sucks shirt, but we're supposed to remind you that they do have one.
We promote it in protest.
Yes, we promote it in protest. We're going to have a shirt eventually, so like buy that shit. Support The Chair Shot. Support our brothers Ricky and Clive over at Social Suplex because we love them. Yeah, those are all I know for the plugs because I'm not Rance and I'm not good at it.
No, that's okay. I was going to say, for me personally, obviously column coming soon. But outside of that column that's coming soon, I'm going to make a I'm thinking next week I was invited to come on a podcast with a friend of mine who's just kind of getting started. It's called the Co-Host Wrestling Podcast. My friend Will, and I've been talking to, you know, he wanted me to come on and do like a little WrestleMania panel with some people.
All right.
I might be doing that. And so I'll make sure and plug us on his show a little bit. And I'll probably be plugging him, obviously, for you guys.
Absolutely. Check him out.
So,
friend of the show?
I don't know. I don't know if he listens or not, but I know me and him are buddies.
Friend
so,
of
know.
The show. That's what friend that of meant.
Friend of the show. Yeah, big friends. Big friends. So real quick, I'm going to go ahead and drop my info here. I haven't been on Twitter the last few days and taking a little bit of a break, but
shit posting 2019 will be back.
It'll be back soon, and you can find me and all my shit posts at Outsider Kervin, KERVIN. Smash that follow button, and you can find the podcast at Outsider's Edge SS. And eventually, we're gonna change that. Like, all you have got to do is change it.
Yeah, like, I know. Like, I've been telling Rance that for a while, but he runs the
account. I'm gonna do it before the next podcast. That way, we'll have something. We'll have another way to tell people.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say SS we're no longer with Social Suplex, but
You can find Rance at It's Ray Cash, R-E-Y as in Mysterio, C-A-S-H as in dollars. You can find The Chair Shot at thechairshot.com. Be sure to check them out and subscribe. And you can find me at Dr. S'mores.
Never tweets.
Never tweets. But you can find me there. I am
there. You are
there. I do exist.
If he had more followers, maybe he would tweet more.
Maybe. It might happen.
Smash that follow button.
It might happen. That's where you can find us. Be sure to check us out. We'll be back with a new exciting adventure, hopefully with our brother Rance next week.
Next week is going to be the big show. What should be our predictions?
Oh, yeah, we'll definitely be running down the WrestleMania-ish.
I'm dragging Rance to that. This is the only show he's ever missed. Rance is going to be here for that show, or I'll fly to Houston myself and drag his ass to the camera and to the microphone.
If he doesn't answer when we Skype him, I'm just going to call his phone every 5 minutes for the entire call.
I like it.
And until he answers and be like, yo, bitch, you're neglecting your duties.
Yeah, you've got duties here at the Outsider's Edge.
So
I say that as a guy who missed like 8 weeks in a row or something, but
eight weeks? You're being generous. You say that as a guy who maybe was on 8 shows for a few months there.
You're true. That's true. Yeah, you're right.
But it's all right, though, man, because like we tell him every week, we're just some young guys out here trying our best to make it in this world. And sometimes we fuck up. Sometimes we miss the show for weeks on end. Sometimes we don't feel like recording the show.
Sometimes we're sick.
Sometimes we're sick. Sometimes I can't remember how to speak because I'm laughing so hard at your reaction to Kurt Angle being a B-plus player.
Right, right.
But at the end of the day, y'all, we're just out here following our dreams. So, like, if we said anything that upsets you, you still got to respect that.
That's right.
Because, I mean, if you don't, like, seriously, y'all, we don't give a fuck.
Good night, everybody.
Night, everybody.